fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. I've been talking this week about the glory of the Lord. That's part of it, but also the fact that when we become believers in Christ, we follow Him. What's at the foundation? Really, the starting point of Christianity is the gift of the Holy Spirit given to us by God the Father and His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, which makes it possible for us to be able to see the glory and the majesty that shines on the face of Jesus. If you haven't had a chance to tune into the program this week, I encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are archived there. You can listen to them on your computer or download them and listen to them on your iPad whenever it's convenient for you. There's also a lot of great stuff on that website that's free. There's booklets, articles, TV programs, all kinds of stuff that we put there to be able to encourage you in your walk with Christ and to be able to help you see the very thing that we're talking about this week, the glory and majesty of Jesus. I want to continue talking about it today and throughout this week, maybe even into next week, because it's something that's so clear in the writing of the apostles and how often they begin their letters with a declaration, a proclamation, a telling of what they know about Jesus and His glory, His power, His beauty, His majesty. And they're always praying for us and calling us to be able to see the light of the glory of God that shines on the face of Jesus Christ. And St. Paul prayed that powerful prayer in Ephesians at the beginning of the letter. He's really essentially praying that our eyes would be opened, because he understands that really Christianity is not just a self-improvement project. It's not just another philosophy, a world philosophy that we occasionally ruminate on and then try to order our lives to conforming to a set of principles or ideals or spiritual insights or something like that. Christianity is completely different than that. It's not about it at all. It's about a new life in Christ. And at the beginning or at the heart of that new life that we're born into, that when the gospel is preached to us, the gospel is what? The good news about the person of Jesus. That's all the gospel is. The gospel is Jesus. It's telling the story of what God has done to save the human race through His beloved Son, Jesus Christ. And Ephesians, the first chapter or two, is such a beautiful proclamation, really, of who Christ is and what we're called to be. And at the end of the first chapter, or the second half of it, Paul, with such a heart, prays this way. He said, "For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power in us who believe, according to the working of his great might, which he accomplished in Christ when he raised him from the dead and made him sit at his right hand in the heavenly places." There's a lot there that's packed there. We could probably spend the month talking about it. But I wanted to read it because here's Paul's deepest prayer for you and for me. We can take this as a personal letter to each one of us. He's saying, "What I want for you, I know you're making strides. I know you're moving forward. I know that God's love is beginning to grow in your hearts for the brethren and reaching out to others and caring for the poor." He said, "I see these things happening, but don't forget." He said, "What I'm really praying for you is that God the Father would give you a wisdom and a revelation." That comes from the Holy Spirit we've been talking about the last couple of days. This is exactly what Paul is later was taking up in the 2 Corinthians chapter 3 section that I've been reading. I read the first 2 days. When Paul says, "When our faces are no longer veiled," that is when the gospel is preached, and by the grace of the Holy Spirit, God's light shines in our hearts, and we're able to see the light of the glory of God that shines on the face of Jesus Christ. And he said, it's the Spirit that brings us this freedom. And we're able to see the glory of the Lord, he said, and we're changed from one degree of glory to the next. We become like God. This is what's crucial to see, because Paul's talking about the Christian hope. The Christian lives by hope. Hope is a confident expectation that what we see and what's promised to us, we're actually going to receive. But if we don't see what's promised, if we don't understand it, and our eyes are not open, and our hearts are not touched deeply by it, it's impossible for us to live with the fullness of Christian hope. We just get little glimmers here and there, and we can easily be led to despair and discouragement. And if we don't see what we're called to in the glory of majesty of Jesus, we live a different kind of Christianity, a minimalistic kind of Christianity, something that's reduced. It's not really about the glory and majesty and the saving work of Jesus. It becomes a moral striving and a work of our flesh that we have to accomplish. And we get discouraged because we think it relies on us, that it rests on you and me and our own strength. And we know how fragile we are, how weak we are, how inconsistent we are, how duplicitous we are. Paul is saying, this is what I pray that you can see. I pray that the eyes of your heart, isn't this beautiful? He said, the eyes of your heart, the heart is the seat of decision. Jesus said he's come to give us a new heart, to make it possible for us to receive the love that truly the Father has for each one of us. One of the great victories of the devil and the reality of the fall is the lie that we're somehow here alone, that there is no God, that this is all an accident, this is all by chance, and that really what we need to do is just be honest about it, stop projecting a God in heaven to give us some kind of psychological consolation because we can't deal with the reality that life is meaningless and that we're here on this island, this orb floating out in this massive universe. We don't know how we got here. We don't know, you know, the purpose for why we're here or where we're going. It's all purposeless. That's the secular cry. There's a battle that's gone on in the world, especially since the Enlightenment period. A battle that says there really is no God and there is no heaven. There is nothing to hope in. I was thinking of Hegel, the philosopher, who said, Christians waste in heaven the energies that are destined for this earth. That is, he said, look, there is no heaven, so stop thinking about it. Stop talking about it. Stop wasting your energy, and let's get to what we can do and what we do know, and that is the survival of our lives and the species here on earth. That's it. So the idea of personal survival, that is, the idea of salvation, of eternal glory, of eternal life, and the possibility of sharing in what belongs to Jesus, that all gets pushed aside. And it gets replaced by the idea of a survival of the species and the future of society. And then a faith in progress emerges. You know, everybody's operating in some kind of faith, even those who say they don't have any faith. You just listen to them. They have faith in progress. They have faith in science. They have faith in human resource and energy. They say, we're going to make a better world. We're making the world better. Oh, really? What's the standard of better? If there is no God, there is no creator, there is no ultimate definition of what is good and meaningful, how do we know we're even making progress? By our experience? And where's the proof that we're making progress? The wars continue. We continue to sacrifice human beings in the millions every year through a Holocaust called abortion. Family life is falling apart in so many places. We're building jails. Who's fooling who about progress being made? We cannot perfect ourselves. When we push God out of the picture, we lose hope about a power greater than ourselves that really has made us, and we know that the thing that's in our hearts, the desire for something more, some kind of deep yearning, knowing there's more than this. I'm made for more than this. It's in every human heart. But we think it's somehow in progress or in our own resources. Deep down, listen even more closely to your heart. You know that that's not true. There's something more. And Paul is saying here, we have to be careful as Christians if we don't see Christ, the pearl of great price, and what God has accomplished in the death and resurrection of Jesus, the transformation of humanity, the new creation is in the risen body, the risen life of Jesus Christ. And he's made it home to our destiny. He now sits at the right hand of the Father. Paul is telling us, I pray that your hearts could grasp this, that the seeing of your heart, that what you would see is not just a human definition, that despairing definition of the human condition, but that your eyes would be opened, not to some psychological thing you create to give yourself consolation, but your eyes are open to the truth, the revelation of God, the reality of God. He said that your hearts would be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope to which he's called you. We know that hope, friends, when we see Jesus. Jesus victorious, Jesus risen. And we know and are knower by the grace of God and the Holy Spirit's work in us. That's the destiny of the human race. Our longing for something greater, something everlasting, something that's going to fulfill every longing and desire we have. This is what we dream of. This is what people are pursuing with crazy, fanatical, frenzied energy in this world, often for the wrong thing. But they're just seeking happiness. They're seeking fulfillment in all the wrong places, and they drank the Kool-Aid that this world is going to provide me the happiness that I need instead of seeing the glory that shines in the face of Jesus. Because that glory means what? We can see the destiny of the human race. God has come to give us a way out. God has come with a power possible to lead us home. God has come to show us that what we long for is that we become sons and daughters of God. And when we see this with the eyes of faith, hope comes alive in us, and we live with a conviction, I know where my life is headed. And it doesn't depend on my power. It depends on the power and majesty of Jesus Christ, who all power belongs to him. And he said, when we see that hope, we're able to see the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. That is the inheritance of Jesus. What is that? The glory of God, transformed living, a new way of life, joy to the full, life to the full. That's in Jesus Christ. And the saints show us, they become an incarnation of what everyone is destined to. Jesus sprinkles every age of human history with saints who are living signs of what every one of us is called to be. And we see the hope to which we're called. And they're transformed. They're changed from one degree of glory to the next. And what they see and why they're so passionate, why they're sold out, why they're so single-minded and single-hearted is that they begin to grasp the immeasurable greatness of his power in us who believe. They know they've been changed. Christianity means change. Christianity means being transformed into the likeness of Christ. And they believe that power. And it's according to the working of the great might that is in Jesus himself that the Father has accomplished in the work of Christ. Friends, if you don't see this, and if Catholic life, Christian life is a matter of moral striving that you're constantly failing at, and you're mainly discouraged, and you're filled with sense of duty, and you're under condemnation, you don't see the glory of God shining on the face of Jesus Christ. That's your inheritance as a child of God. Pray for it. Cry out to God for it. Pick up the scripture. Beg the Lord of the Holy Spirit to reveal to you in your heart the glory and the majesty of Jesus Christ and the truth of your sonship, your daughterhood in him. God bless you.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to be able to offer you my new booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? At the heart of the new evangelization is a fresh proclamation of the gospel. But for many people, even many Catholics, they wonder, what is the message? What exactly is at the heart of that proclamation? In this simple booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message?, I take a look at and present in a very specific and simple way what is the core of what we're called to proclaim in this great and important missionary moment in the history of the Church. If you'd like a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.